A Waukesha County Circuit Court judge will decide whether absentee voters can cancel their ballots and vote again before Election Day. It's Tuesday, August 29th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, a group of former UW Oshkosh students each got bills for nearly $8,000 because of a tuition error months after they'd already graduated. Rich Kramer will have more on the situation. And Wisconsin had the fourth largest share of hospitals in the country receive the highest possible ratings from a federal agency. We'll have more on what that means. Stay with us.
Politics, environment, trade, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A Waukesha County Circuit Court judge heard arguments yesterday about whether absentee voters can cancel their ballots and vote again before Election Day. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the practice known as ballot spoiling has been on hold in Wisconsin since last October.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission told local clerks last summer that ballots can be spoiled after they're submitted. A conservative group filed a lawsuit saying that goes against state law. In October, a judge issued a temporary ban on ballot spoiling by clerks. Kurt Gary, a plaintiff's attorney, argued to make that ban permanent. He said it establishes different rules for absentee and in-person voters.
Indeed, according to the commission's interpretation, a voter could vote on Election Day in the morning, change his or her mind, who they voted for, and come back before the polls close to re-vote.
Lawyers for the commission and for progressive groups say this practice allows voters to fix mistakes or respond to last-minute information about candidates. The judge in the case will issue a decision within 90 days. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
More Wisconsin high school students are taking advanced placement courses and exams again since the start of the pandemic, but students of color are continuing to fall behind. Last school year, Wisconsin high school students took about 67,000 AP exams. Now, nearly 80% of those tests were taken by white students. Black students took just over 2%. Sarah Shaw with the Wisconsin Policy Forum says it's encouraging to see a rebound.
The question is always, is that rebound going to be an equitable rebound? Our Asian and our white students did recover and indeed have gone past where they were pre-pandemic, and our other student groups have not yet.
AP classes are those that prepare students to take college-level courses, also gives them an opportunity to earn college credit if they pass the exam. Data shows 68% of white students pass the exam compared to 34% of black students. Months after graduating, a group of former UW Oshkosh students each got bills for nearly $8,000 because of a clerical error. Rich Kramer reports the graduates say they shouldn't have to pay for the school's mistake.
Stuart Kuzik and seven others crossed the stage in January after finishing an accelerated Masters of Business program. In June, they were each told they were undercharged for a semester and owed more than $7,900. Kuzik says it's not the way a business should act.
We're not students anymore. I paid for this with student loan money. I'm not a student. I can't get a student loan for this. I graduated. You're ineligible.
A campus administrator told WPR it regrets the error, but is obligated to collect the money needed to cover the cost of the program. UW Oshkosh is facing steep financial troubles. Earlier this year, it announced plans to cut around 200 staff positions to close an $18 million deficit. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Milwaukee Public School District received a $2.2 million donation on Monday to help keep its drinking water safe. Milwaukee-based Zurn LK Water Solutions donated the money for the district to install new water filters. The company also makes filtered water stations, which students can use to fill reusable bottles. Over the summer, the district installed nearly 600 of those stations. They can also help filter out lead, and that's important because lead exposure can be especially damaging to children and their development. Regina Navajar is the principal of Starm's Early Childhood. She says their school now has five of those bottle filling stations.
To know that our water filtration units will provide fresh, safe, healthy water, it makes us feel good.
MPS plans to install around 120 more bottle filling stations across the district soon. Wisconsin had the fourth largest share of hospitals in the country, receiving the highest possible ratings from a federal agency. Joe Schultz has more on what that means.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services gives hospitals ratings based on things like mortality, safety of care, readmissions, and patient experience. 38% of Wisconsin hospitals evaluated received the highest possible rating. Only three other states had a larger share of hospitals rank as high. Nadine Allen is with the Wisconsin Hospital Association. She says Wisconsin also outperformed neighboring states like Illinois and Minnesota.
Midwest is always known for providing good health care, but we're happy to have Wisconsin at the top of the list.
Allen says the state's hospitals continue working to improve patient outcomes. She also believes this year's rankings highlight that most Wisconsinites have access to quality care. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Sarah Lear will take us to Oak Hill Correctional, a building just outside of Madison, a very different type of facility within the Department of Corrections. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, the number of elderly Americans behind bars has skyrocketed in recent decades, and the costs are climbing for prisons as they deal with more advanced medical needs. As Sarah Lear reports, in Wisconsin, that's led to the Department of Corrections opening a different kind of prison ward.
Oak Hill Correctional is a minimum security facility surrounded by cornfields just outside Madison. Most of the inmates there sleep in bunk beds. But as nursing supervisor Rachel Snow explains, at a newly opened unit within Oak Hill, all the beds are low to the ground.
There's many of the guys that are down there that cannot navigate steps.
Wisconsin's Department of Corrections opened the assisted living facility earlier this year. On a recent summer day, the unit is busy with more than 20 inmates. Some use wheelchairs or walkers. Another does an exercise with a nurse intended to improve range of motion in his arm. Many of the men there need help with showering, dressing, or eating. And Snow says a lot of them have chronic conditions.
Respiratory issues, end-stage COPD, emphysema, cardiac issues.
There are more than 20,000 people locked up in Wisconsin prisons, and more than 15% are over age 55. That percentage has more than tripled over the last two decades.
As our incarcerated population ages, we will see a greater need.
The graying of Wisconsin's prison population mirrors national trends. Experts say that's partly because the country's population is getting older on average. But Mike Wessler, who advocates for reducing the incarcerated population through the Prison Policy Initiative, says it's also due to longer prison sentences.
In the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, there was a real focus on kind of tough on crime policies that ushered in an era of mass incarceration.
Harlan Richards was 30 when he was convicted of murder after stabbing someone in a fight. He served decades behind bars in Wisconsin before he was paroled at age 67. He says prison life is different for older inmates.
Yeah, I mean, you get aches and pains and you get medical problems, and a young guy can stand sleeping on a hard bed. He can stand, you know, the substandard food and stuff like that.
Increasingly, prison systems are responding to the needs of older inmates with specialized facilities. A federal prison in Massachusetts has a memory disorder unit to treat dementia. At a special needs prison in Nashville, inmates can be admitted to units with assisted living or nursing care. Bryce Peterson is a scientist with the CNA Center for Justice Research and Innovation. He says many people enter prison in worse health than the general public, in part because of poverty. Then, medical problems can get even worse because of the conditions within prison, including violence and poor health care.
Their physiological age is actually 10 to 15 years older than, what their age actually is.
Peterson says that all has financial consequences.
The best estimates are that it's anywhere from 2 to 5 times more to take care of someone who's older than it is to take care of someone who's younger in prison.
At the same time, studies show the chance of people reoffending decreases with age. Every state except for Iowa has what's known as compassionate release policies. Those allow inmates to get out early because of advanced age or serious health problems. But Wessler, the Prison Policy Initiative spokesman, says compassionate release is rarely used.
It's a cumbersome process. It requires lots of approvals, lots of documentation.
Last year, Wisconsin granted compassionate release to 5 prisoners. Many inmates in the state are not eligible for the program, including people convicted of serious felonies and anyone who committed a crime before the year 2000. Wessler hopes for a more far-reaching solution.
My hope is that before prisons consider opening a nursing home behind bars, states will look at revisiting some of these harsh sentencing laws.
He and other advocates say the focus should be on reducing the incarcerated population to begin with. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, you can find us every single weekday morning. We'll always be there wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, leave us that review. Let us know how we're doing. Hit that subscribe button. And of course, leave us a rating as well. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.